Hey, I'm Jason Warner Smith. I played Gavin on AMC's The Walking Dead, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through on Golden Spiral Media. Don't turn it off.
Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through, episode 39, Buried Review.
Welcome to Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through, a fan podcast dedicated to Fear the Walking Dead on AMC. Join us each week as we discuss the characters, story developments, and theories of Fear the Walking Dead. Send in your thoughts about each episode by calling 304-837-2278. Or by visiting our feedback page at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And now, here's your hosts.
Hey, survivors. Welcome to another fine episode of Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian.
I'm Kyle.
And I'm Mark.
Mark's back.
Yay.
How's your computer?
Still out for repairs. I'm using an old one.
Well, it seems to work. That's the main thing. Yes. Yeah. All right. So we are here to discuss season 4, episode 4, which is titled Buried. But before we get into that, we're going to talk a little bit about the last episode because Mark wasn't here. So, and we actually didn't get any additional feedback for it, but Mark, we wanted to get your take on the monumental Good Out Here episode.
I really enjoyed it. My awesome sauce, or my rating actually, would be definitely 9 out of 10.
Dead Nicks.
Oh, jeez.
Too soon.
But yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was definitely a good insight. We got to see a lot of what was going on, especially with Madison and Mel, and that to me showed a lot. And definitely with what they were going through at the stadium. So yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Well, that's good. What did you think about the death of Nick?
I was upset. Definitely, a lot of people are not a fan of Nick as a character, along with Strand, too. A lot of people don't like Strand, Nick, or Madison, but actually those characters I really like. The only person I was never too keen on was Alicia. So seeing Nick go, and especially when you look at the way the show actually started off, it starts off as almost like Nick's story because he's the one that wakes up. And in season one, and we've traveled and we've seen him through him being an addict, recovering, dealing with his addiction in this apocalypse, and then eventually embracing the apocalypse and finding his own way. And kind of like on that Morgan side, like I've mentioned before, where I can't be killed. Like he knows the ins and outs of this apocalypse. And then, you know, this season he changed because it's been years later, I guess. And, you know, he's a complete opposite of what he was. He's all afraid. He's got PTSD. And, you know, just as we started to see his character come back a little bit and see a little bit more of Nick and where he was going, they just cut him out and that was it. But the way they took him out was very good, I thought, in a sense where they, you know, they had Charlie do it, and which leads into what we could talk about tonight and with the original cast and their response regarding that. Because at the very end, we were all skeptical as whether or not Luciana Strand or Alicia actually saw that it was Charlie that killed Nick.
Yeah. And we know that now.
Yeah.
That they do. But it wasn't evident last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have anything else you want to?
No. You guys covered it. I enjoyed it very much that, I got to listen to you both do it and just be a listener this week.
All right, well, let's continue. So we are covering season 4, episode 4, which is titled Buried. That is written by Alex Delisle. And we saw her appear on Talking Dead in one of the behind-the-scenes, you know, shots from the set. And she is a staff writer on the show. And this appears to be her first TV writing credit. I checked her up on IMDb, and the only thing I saw for her was staff on some like documentary or something. And she had, I think, written and directed some short that was in IMDb. So she is new talent.
New.
Directed by someone who isn't new talent, Magnus Martins. And he's directed lots of genre TV stuff. I think this is his first Walking Dead franchise stuff, but he's done like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I think Luke Cage, and a few other, you know, Marvel type shows. So I don't know if you recognize his name, Mark, from any of the shows that you've covered. Anyway, so our ratings. So Kyle, why don't you start?
I gave this episode a 9.4. I shouldn't have opened that page. That's it's the only thing I could think of today, but it was the last thing I did see.
All right, Mark.
I give this 9 out of 10 stories between two slices of bullshit.
And the if you look in this in the doc, I had something very similar. It was going to be 9 pieces of truth between two slices of bullshit. But as a result, I am going to pick 9 cattle feed pancakes. Because that sounds so yummy.
So good.
I just kept on, you know, picturing what would that taste like exactly?
Probably manure.
All right. So we have some listener ratings. So Kyle, why don't you start it off?
All right. Glennis Goltz, she gives it an 8 out of 10 prickly pear faces.
Cheryl Fox gives it 8.5 out of 10 dead librarians.
Laura Willis-Swink gives it a 9.25 out of 10 snookered owls.
Steve Cutterblades gives it 7.5 water slide walkers.
All right, now it is time for the awesome variety of sauce. Awesome sauce! Glynis Goltz, she says, her awesome sauces. Number one, the walkers in both scenes with the prickly cacti. Ouch. And super toilet bowl flush slide. I felt real anxiety in both when they were fighting off the walkers in both situations. The water world from hell was especially dynamic with Alicia and Naomi both fighting for their footing. Yikes, get the hell out of there. Reminds me of the In Deep song, A DJ Saved My Life, with the DJ's advice toward the end of the song. I don't think I'll play that one. her second one is, John's got his other six shooter back. Time to plan a supply run for another holster.
All righty. I do have to kind of... Yeah, that the water world, the water slide thing was kind of a neat place to be. All right, Cheryl Fox, she gives her awesome sauce as finding out more about John. He was a police officer, and Alicia and Naomi / Laura at the water park. That was pretty good place.
Laura Willie Swing says,
the water park,
which I loved as well, Lara. It looked completely apocalyptic with the gobbled together shantytown and the decaying walkers everywhere. It was extremely creepy. The set design on the show is pretty impressive, which I agree. Mm-hmm. I love the idea. It kind of took me back to the idea of Zombieland.
Yeah, that was a toilet from hell. All
right. Kyle, you had trouble coming up with an awesome sauce, but the funny thing was you had already come up with it. So I just reminded you of it. So go ahead.
All right. Well, it was each of like the title cards of each episode of the season and it being unique. And, you know, they do like tell a story as a whole from like, you know, this season episode 1 to episode 16. And like in episode 1, we had John's campfire. And then in episode 2, you know, we saw the large caravan, which was the vultures. And then episode 3 was the blue bonnet patch. And now here we are with episode 4. It was the, you know, 4x3 glitchy, you know, VHS style resolution.
Yeah. And supposedly, the showrunners say that if we watch these title cards from episode 1 to episode 16, they will tell a little story in and of themselves, which seems to be at this point paralleling the actual stories from the season. But what did you guys think of the 4x3 effect?
I like the first time, or you know, when I watched it live, I didn't even catch it at all. But then when I did the rewatch, yeah, I just immediately was like, oh, like totally cool. Like I don't know, I really liked it, because I mean it was the whole you know episode was basically kind of through the lens of Al's camera.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it myself. I was telling Kyle previous before we recorded about how it was really cool that they put that in there from that point, which points out literally because it's Althea's story of her interviewing them and getting the original cast story. So it was a good effect.
Yeah, I loved it. And I picked up on it right away. I knew that there was something odd about the title card. And then when I started seeing it glitch, because it wasn't just that it was 4x3, it was glitchy. And as soon as I saw it glitching, and not just saw it like visually glitching, but also heard like a couple of audio glitches.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, oh man, that's cool. So
that's the part that makes me feel bad though, because I, you know, I was a video editor for like many years and like I did not even see that it was a 4x3. You know, it was just, I saw the glitching and I saw that, it kind of looks like, you know, like an old recording, and I figured, oh yeah, the camera, but I did not see that there was a black bars on my TV until like, you know, the next day I saw it. So should have been better at that.
No soup for you.
Okay. It's been 10 years since I've edited a video, so I'll give myself that.
Yeah. I think you get a pass, especially since the fact that, you know, you didn't do it yourself and you weren't involved with it and you weren't looking for it. But I am definitely going to keep my attention on these title cards throughout the season. I think what they've done here is really cool. I mean, I've always liked the title from, you know, The Walking Dead and what they do with it from season to season. But I never liked what they had done the first three seasons of Fear, but I'm liking this. I'm liking this a lot. So, all right, Mark, let's go to you.
Basically, I had mentioned it before, this Althea-centric episode, how the episode was just revolved around the original group's story and what they, and how, why they were left out, you know, they left the community itself, losing their hope and faith of the community. And that's the reason why they left, which is the story that they give Althea. But it was a great overall, but a story that has to continue as they seek out the vultures with Althea driving them in another episode. Obviously not next episode, because it's going to be from the preview showing everything about John Dory. It's probably going to be kind of John talking to Morgan and explaining his whole thing with the Laura character and what he went through with her and his search possibly for Laura, which AKA is, what did they call her? I forget the second name that they gave her.
Naomi?
Naomi?
Yeah, Naomi. There you go. Name eluded me. But yeah, it was right above where you had it.
I was just going to say it.
I only have not measured around mine. Sorry. But yeah, it's interesting that the whole story revolved around Althea finally getting her story with from the original group, but it's only a portion of that story because they kind of touch on with the flashbacks about Madison, but they don't go into what happened to Madison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They mentioned that Laura or Naomi died, but was that their assumption? Because we don't even know or haven't even seen it in a flashback of what actually did happen at that field.
Right. They could have just lost track of her.
And John isn't willing to accept it.
Yes.
And if she has died, I would say that they've left a huge potential piece of story just missing that, you know.
Yeah. We'll see.
What you bet?
Well, I had two awesome sauce, both of the hot and the extra hot variety, I guess. My hot variety was Morgan laying the blue bonnet down on Nick's grave. I thought that was a nice touch. That was a bit of a stretch for awesome. So, you know, barely awesome. But the part that Mark just alluded to, Naomi equals Laura. So I feel especially good about that, not only because I was hoping for it, but I predicted it last episode. So for that, I get. But I will also say, Kyle, you also get. Do you remember why you get one?
Yes, because Alicia's weapon.
Alicia's weapon. You got Alicia's weapon exactly correct.
Wow.
And because before you had said that, I was like, I have no idea what that is, but you nailed it, man. You nailed it.
I know my guns.
Wow.
That's your Oklahoma upbringing. All right. Well, let's go to the weak variety.
You're worthless and weak.
All right, Kyle, we only have two for this, for the listeners here, so.
All right. Well, Glynis Gold, she gave her weak sauce as not really any weak sauce, but Madison killed those vultures. But that doesn't happen, obviously, for this specific story arc, I guess.
Cheryl Fox says, I wrote my notes at the halfway point of this episode that I still didn't know the point of this episode was. It was kind of slow, but still worth it.
Yes, it was. Kyle, what you got?
All right. Yeah, my only thing, and I think is after I watched it the second time, because I didn't catch it the first time for some reason, that Nick is still trying to help Charlie. Like, you know, they were at the library, getting her books, and then he talked about, like, oh, what about CDs or records or, you know, some other stuff like that. And it's like, was this before or after they ran into Innes and her with the walkie-talkie? And I'm assuming this is after, because...
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
She actually mentions that they have the conversation in the library about how Luciana said, I was just like her.
Yeah.
I was with that group, and I didn't know better. I only knew what they knew or what they were doing, and was convinced it was for the greater good. So okay. She thinks that Charlie's in that position where she's so young, she doesn't know any better, and these people helped her out. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I had a hard time agreeing with Luciana on this, because I don't think she was in the same position as Charlie. First of all, she wasn't nearly as young as Charlie. And secondly, the Colonia was seemed to be a good place to be until, you know, those drug guys, you know, invaded.
And the fake medicine man who faked his bite.
yeah. I guess that's also worth saying too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've made it my weak sauce just because I was just like, Nick, really? Like, you still have hope or something that like she told, I feel like Charlie kind of stabbed him in the back basically, and him to still be trying to change her or whatever. I don't know. Just kind of was like, eh.
Maybe he saw something in himself in Charlie because he was always lost and everybody else was trying to help him. And then this is his way of trying to do that for somebody else.
I still call it weak just because they're the situation that they're in. How is helping Charlie going to help their situation?
That's true.
I mean, that's kind of, I was like, I should be focusing on how to survive and get rid of the vultures, not saving Charlie. But anyways, move on. But
the children are our future, Kyle.
Blah. Oh, no. Not ones that, you know, backstab me and take all my...
Are you going to mention songs covered by Whitney Houston every episode we have you on? Actually, it's the same song, but yeah. I think originally that was sung by George Benson, who's not the Benson from the sitcom. So anyway. Yeah, so he performed it first, I guess, and Whitney Houston did it, I think, on her first album or something, but... Yeah. Why do I know that? Because it was around in 1986, and when I heard her sing it, I'm like, I've heard that song before. And anyway.
We've moving off. What is this segue?
What is this bizarre segue that's happening right now? Can we maybe stay on point?
Strange fact. I was a metalhead, but I went to see a Whitney Houston concert. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know if I should be proud of that or. Well, anyway, she's a great talent.
At least you got to see her.
Yeah. Yeah. And may she rest in peace. Mark, what have you had for weak sauce?
Using the water slides as a way to get up. I'm sorry. That bothered me. I would have climbed over the barricades. You know, apparently there weren't any walkers. If you actually watch the scene, there aren't any walkers hanging around where the barricades are. Mm-hmm. They can't even get up. They're in the water. Just move all the chairs and all that stuff into the water. Those walkers are not going to be able to climb over onto them. They're just stumbling and bobbing around. You know, they were mostly in water. You know, I just don't get it. Why go through that effort and possibly slip? Because that is a huge slide,
and
we see in the end.
Yeah, and all the moldy and scummy.
Yeah, I know.
Parts of that slide, it was nasty.
Yeah, I thought the same thing too. It was just like looking at it did not look very intimidating. It looked more like you could climb over that.
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of things blocking the stairs, but you know, it's not something that they needed to get to, like, you know, in the next 5 minutes.
Right. Yeah, right.
Maybe they were just lazy.
Well, we'll call
that. Let's face it. If they had done the barricades, it wouldn't have made a good TV. So, yeah, exactly. All right. So I have a bit of controversy here for my weak sauce. Okay. So I want some help from the listeners on this one. Because as far as I know, I did a search. Hot dogs from a can. I could not find any hot dogs from a can on the web anywhere. Okay? Now, I know that you can get hot dogs in MREs. That's actually something I've eaten MREs before, and I've had a hot dog from an MRE. But they're not in cans. They're in, like, vacuum-sealed pouches.
The only cans, hot dogs that I know are those awful Vienna sausages, you know, or baby, meat sticks, which are in this like really gross fluid. My wife likes them though. But, maybe I shouldn't have admitted that for her. Anyway, yeah. So hot dogs from a can, is that a thing? Help me out, people.
Yeah. You sure you? I'm finding them online.
Are you?
Yes.
Maybe.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. Primrose giant hot dogs in a can, or something like premium giant hot dogs.
I must have searched incorrectly. Oh, and look at that.
Did you?
I this time I searched for canned hot dogs. Okay.
Yeah, so, I did hot dog in a can.
Yeah. Yeah. So scratch that one.
Although, yeah, they're not very, that still would, you know, to come across that in the apocalypse, you know, that's not something that I, even growing up in the South, like I would have known that you were even able to get like at a grocery store.
Yeah.
Or at least not.
Ye old oak American hot dogs in a can. And then the other ones that they are showing are actually in a jar. So technically I still win for those, but anyway.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
My weird thing is like they keep looking for canned food, things like that, beans and stuff. They could raid a Dollar Tree or something, but
oh but, yeah.
But in they, fact, you don't see any sardines, kippered snacks, tuna, or anything like that that they're finding.
Beef always, jerky,
yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
nothing like it, that.
You know, actually, like considering where they are, like we think they're in Round Rock, Texas, which is a suburb of Austin. I mean, if the Walking Dead universe mimics at all the actual universe and the park that it's in. I have to think, like, it's like, have they really gone to every house in the Austin area? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really? There's like over, isn't there like a million people that live there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. I don't know. I often wonder about those things. They just kind of yada, 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 that kind of stuff. And yeah, of course, I would imagine that a lot of the houses have been picked by now, but I can't think that all of them have. I would have to think that there'd be, you know, pockets of, you know, subdivisions that haven't been touched. All right. So sad sauce. Oh, Kyle, go ahead.
All right. Cheryl Fox, her sad sauce is that Naomi or Laura did not make it out of the ballpark. And John took that hard, but not as hard as realizing she had lied to him.
Yeah. Well, he said that she never gave her real name, but it seemed like he knew that. So I don't know how she got the name Laura, if that was just, you know, something he guessed at or he just settled upon or what. I don't know. And
maybe, yeah, maybe he they had a conversation. Maybe we'll see it next episode. He probably asks her, she's not willing. And he goes, well, I'll call you Laura, like they do in movies. It's like, oh, well, you're not going to give me your name. I'll call you Laura now. And yeah, and then that because he liked that name and she was not so forthright. So, and then he wound up growing an attachment. But why would she leave John is the question, which I guess we'll see in next episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the fact that she seemed to unwrap that gun with some care, that it seemed to hold some kind of significance to her. I tend to think that she wasn't, she didn't want to leave. But the question is, you know, why did she leave? And that thing that she says to Alicia about not being able to do it again, is this the thing that she's talking about, that it would be again?
You know, was well, I hopefully we'll find out next episode. It seems like we're going to. Mark, what do you have for sad sauce?
Seeing Luciana stab Nick, you know, his corpse in the head to prevent him from turning. Yeah, that was really sad because it's pretty much the last thing that we'll ever see of Nick other than flashbacks, but within a current time.
And Stran putting his coat over him.
Yeah.
As well.
It's just the go away, you know. Plus, as they were burying Nick at the end, Alicia is quick and eager to walk away after, yeah. and the mm-hmm. first to walk away. Then Strand, Luciana stays, and then Morgan and John are still standing there showing respect.
Yeah.
Which is a weird, weird scene to watch because you would think that's his sister and she would be there the longest and be hurting more for the fact her brother is dead.
Mm. Yeah. And we really need to, I hope they're not going to drag on the mystery of what happens to Madison beyond another episode or two, yeah. Because if they're just going to tell us that she's dead, just get on with it and tell yeah. us, yeah. you know? I still don't think that she's dead because of the arguments that I made last week. I mean, who would become the star of the show if there's no Madison?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Strand.
My style and color. I've been watching, going back and watching the show. I watched actually a good chunk of season two and part of season three over the weekend. Yeah, because I wanted to finish that rewatch that I never quite got to finish before the show actually started. All right. Well, I have three sad sauces and I have to give a sad sauce to the entire episode. The whole thing, and I wasn't sure if it was just me or would I feel differently after watching it, another couple of times. Cause I watched it two times the night of, and then I didn't get a chance to watch it yesterday, but then I watched it twice today, in prep. And I had the same feeling. It's like the whole episode was so sad. Like just knowing that they, like what they believe is that basically hope, the fact that they had hope was what they think anyway killed Nick, and that if they had just, you know, all turned away and you know, moved out of the diamond, they'd all be alive. And I don't know if that's true or not, but just the whole thing, I just thought was sad. And to that end, about the sad, and I think you'd mentioned Luciana as well, the tear that it was like one single tear that came down Luciana's cheek, but it was like when it went down, it went like really fast down, and a lot of tear when she was, you know, recounting the fact that Nick would still be alive if they had just left. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was particularly sad. And about Nick, you know, he wasted all that effort on Charlie. He was going to try to make a library for her, for him only be killed by her later. I mean, that is just so sad. And just talk about not being appreciated.
Oh.
All right. Let's go for what sauce?
What?
All right. Well, Laura Willie Swink is our first listener with what sauce, and she says, "Where are the 40-somes other inhabitants of the diamond? All we ever seem to see is the primary players, not even anyone walking around in the background. Does Fear not have the budget for extras?" That's true.
I know that we saw We saw more of them in like the second episode when we first, you know, get to the diamond. But it just seems to be focusing on the core of, you know, with Cole also being in there. And, you know, it's just like just this little small clique of people. And, you know, it's not showing the other people.
Groups or anything. You know, you don't actually see kind of like if you watch the Prime show with the Kingdom and Hilltop, when they give all these major speeches, people all around, but where are they living?
Well, they did that with Otto's ranch too. There was like a ton of people that were, you know, by their RVs and stuff.
Yeah, you knew that they were living in their RVs or adjacent houses, like that one that got burnt down with the woman that turned into a walker. And then same thing. But and if you watch too, which makes me laugh too, the Prime characters that we have in here, like Strand, Madison, Alicia, Nick, Luciana, all of them were literally living in, you know, those private boxes. Mm-hmm. Where are the other people staying? Are they all camped out underneath? And is that what Madison was building for Charlie, making her a little area in the dugout area? So what's so special about them? Makes me laugh.
All right. Well, Cheryl Fox, she says they weren't even going to bury Nick. What was that all about? Yeah, I would agree with that too. And Mark, you had mentioned that earlier. It is kind of weird. That is some damaged people.
Yeah. Well, it kind of makes you wonder, you know, makes you think it's like, well, what happened? You know,
they lost their humanity.
Yeah. All right, Kyle, you've got a what sauce?
Yeah. And Mark kind of like, you know, talked about it. Before it was just like my watt sauce was like going up the water slide, like seemed like a really bad idea. And, you know, with the barricade, you know, it wasn't all that impressive. So it was just kind of like, what? I just like it. Yeah. It just stuck out more and more when I was doing another rewatch on my way home today. I was just like, seriously, like there's like all these walkers in like the lazy river. And then you have to like get into it to get to the slide. Like you could have just like called them over and stabbed them or something. And yeah, instead it's like they could have just probably climbed over the barricade because walkers don't have the same dexterity as a human living human being and climb. So that was my what.
All right. Mark, what about you?
Laura was really Naomi? That threw me for a loop. It's funny because you would think that would be the most obvious thing, which it wound up becoming, but I thought there would be a little bit more mystery. It's one of those things where you could actually see it ahead of time when somebody starts talking and then they introduce a new character, but they're in separate stories. And, you know, I'm thinking, okay, this is zombie apocalypse and we're talking America, and she could have been like Morgan and ran all the way to Virginia from Texas and never to be seen again. But for the fact that she's still lingering around and she happens upon the same people that John happens upon, it seemed too convenient. But I was like, okay, all right. It's meant for more dramatic effect. I'll accept it. But I was hoping a little bit more mystery into it. You know, I like the idea of a mystery woman. I was hoping that it was Laura was in John Dory's head because he likes to talk to himself.
we have more to say about those two and some special feedback that we got actually as of like early around noon, I think today we had still only gotten one piece of feedback. So I threw up something on Facebook about Laura / Naomi and John, and that actually got us a lot of feedback. All right. Well, I have this down in what sauce, but it's more like a mad sauce. And of course, I think I'm going to keep this going for the rest of the half season into the Badlands. Again, and this time I'm not going to bring up the same thing I brought up last time about having to wait an hour. This time I'm going to make an exception about the fact that I was on the AMC app watching both Fear the Walking Dead and Talking Dead today, and every single commercial was Into the Badlands. And I'm not talking about a commercial for Into the Badlands on every break. No, every single commercial was Into the Badlands.
So they're trying to get their money apparently for the show. And I was so happy when I went to one Walker Stalker. I was like, okay, it just started. They were promoting it at this Walker Stalker. I'm like, what is with all the samurai stuff? And I was like, all right, I watched two episodes, could not get into that show, and then it disappeared for a while. And I was thinking to myself, thank you, thank God. Oh, they got rid of it. And then it came back X amount of months later, and I'm like, no, because you would think it takes a year. But I guess they really wanted to work on it to make a second season, and now they're doing it again, and I just don't get it. I don't get that show.
I don't either.
I haven't even watched it. I didn't really want to either, but.
Well, and I'm looking at it on the ratings for this week, and it did not do great, which, of course, I am secretly ecstatic about. But anyway, let's move on to our regular feedback.
Bullshit!
Thank you, Simon.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
All right. Our first, Glynis Goltz, and she says, I am intrigued with hearing the backstory of John, Laura, and Alicia, Strand, and Luciana, and what the hell happened to Madison, and what went on with the vultures. I suppose Fear the Walking Dead has me hooked. I'd also hope they also cover immediately after the dam explosion for all the characters. Just need to be patient and wait for all this to play out in the future episodes.
Yeah, it seems like they're going to take their good old sweet time and not tell us what's going on. Like, we still don't know anything about what happened to not only Daniel, but also Kalataka and Crazy Dog. We don't know what happened to those guys. So, it's a mystery that will keep on being a mystery, I guess. Todd Schwartzberg is next. He says, so I know it's easy for me to say now that they revealed it in this one, but I had a feeling probably since the start that Jenna Elfman's character, Laura/Naomi, was going to be who Dory was looking for. I love his sweetness and his inability to accept the supposed truth. We all need hope in this world. I'll echo what we are all thinking. Where's Madison in the present timeline?
It's a trap!
She's a hipster vulture.
Yeah. Makes me wonder what kind of outfit she's wearing. Yeah. Strand, Al, and all the bus interview stuff was great. This guy that paired off with Strand in the flashbacks, I have no memory of where he came from. All these saviors or vultures look the same to me. And that was Cole. His name was Cole. And we first see him at the Diamond in season 4, episode 2, you know, like a couple weeks back, another day at the Diamond. That's the first time we see him. So he obviously joined up with them somehow, either at the Diamond or before, and obviously considers the people at the Diamond to be family, I guess. because he mentioned something like that. And Sebastian Sazi, I believe it's his name, the actor that plays him, was on Talking Dead this week, and he mentioned something to that effect. He couldn't fathom doing anything like what Strand was trying to do to his new family. So, right?
Okay. Cheryl Fox says, so this episode was so full of information that I wasn't sure what the process. She can process it, I guess. I love the different places that were scavenged: the nursery, the water park, the library. It was also surprising to me that everyone wanted to jump ship, which I'm shocked too, but we wouldn't have a story. I knew Strand would want to get out before he couldn't benefit from it. He squirreled away all the food from underneath Madison's nose. That everyone of the original group wanted to leave surprised me a little bit. But I love that all their conscience got to each of them. Yeah, definitely. Because you could see their sadness when they were talking to Althea. Mm-hmm. Or was it just hope? Which leads to what I have to say later. But now they are all living with regret. We are. Are Alicia, Luciana, Strand telling the truth? Or was it all just BS? Althea feels she got suckered, which makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do agree with a lot of her points. I thought it would have been like a made-up story that they were just giving Althea. But the sincerity in their voices and the way they were talking showed a lot of truth in it, unfortunately. And it leads to something I'll say later. Okay.
All right.
Laura Willie Swink, she says, a little bit slower this week, but still solid storytelling and some really great performances. I love seeing the before and after stark contrast of Alicia, Strand, and Lucy as we see them annoyed, but still hopeful at the stadium, and later cold, regretful, and cynical in the MRAP.
Yeah, and according to Wikipedia, MRAP stands for Mine Resistant Ambush Protected. So, and most of those types of vehicles are obviously in the U.S. military, but this one's for a SWAT. But if you look at them, they look it does look very similar to what we're seeing in the show. So,
well, the government sold a lot of the Army stuff to the police departments over the last like several years. So,
yeah. Next is Steve Cutterblades. He says, funny watching these scenes as well as remembering the swamp scene in the last season of The Walking Dead. Why aren't these walkers as bloated as the well walker from Herschel's farm? That's a good question.
Yeah.
Definitely. You would definitely sure. think that they would be. Maybe they haven't been in the water quite as long. But Herschel's was still pretty early in the apocalypse, so this episode was good setup for the rest of the story. What's that? What's that?
AM radio.
Doug Harvey. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doug Harvey. Isn't that what he said?
Oh, yeah.
Hello, Americans. I'm Paul Harvey. You know what the news is. In a minute, you're going to hear the rest of the story.
Really getting the impression that Madison is no longer with us. And I know many won't mourn her loss. Interesting note that John was also a lawman. I've liked Dillahunt as an actor from first seeing him in Amazon's Hand of God series. He played a pretty good bad guy on last season's Fox X spinoff, The Gifted, as well. I've heard about that. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people, we'll get to this when we talk more about the focus on John and Laura / Naomi. But I think a lot of people have known him for playing bad guys and are, you know, kind of, well, I won't continue that because I will continue in a minute. All right. So my, this wasn't a poll because I wasn't really sure how to say it. So I kept it rather open, but I asked, what are your thoughts about the John/Laura Naomi relationship? Is John the softy that he seems to be, or is there something dark there we haven't seen yet? Is Naomi still alive? Why did she not give John a real name? Post any thoughts about John and or Naomi, Laura, here. And we got quite a bit of feedback about that. So, Kyle, why don't you start it off?
Yes, Steve Brown, and he says, I hope she is alive somewhere and we get to see the reunion. Even if the reunion is her telling him that he had more invested in the relationship than she did, he still needs that closure. The reveal of her with the six shooter was good. It was a cool twist. Might be that Naomi is not Laura, but she took the gun either from a corpse or was traded for it or traded it for something. I have not rewatched this episode yet, so those are my initial thoughts on it. That's a good question, though. Like, she might not be Laura, but I think the way John reacted, maybe he heard that name before, or something like that. But I don't know.
You mean that she's not, Laura isn't actually, or Naomi isn't actually Laura? She's just somebody that found the gun,
right?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I tend to think that.
I guess now you think about it, we already saw the coming.
Yeah.
Previews and then yeah. She's in there.
Spoiler.
Yeah, exactly. Spoiler alert.
All right, Mark, why don't you read the next one?
Cheryl Fox says, I don't think Laura Naomi trusts John at all. I don't think she trusts anyone. I don't think I would either. I believe Naomi is dead like Alicia told us. I think there is more to John than any of us realize. It is going to be an interesting next episode to see how this all plays out. Maybe John has some anger issues?
Could be. All right. Next is Glynis Goltz. She says, I wonder if she left John because she was afraid of him and he was maybe keeping her hostage and she managed to escape. But before leaving, she stole the six shooter so she could be armed. But so far, I don't see any indication of John being that way. Laura/Naomi looks to be the sort of person to up and leave when the going gets tough in order to improve her survival odds. So this next episode will be interesting to see what's revealed on what, if anything, is brewing below that the surface of both John and Laura/Naomi. I think that's very insightful, Glytis. You nailed it there when you said that she seems to be the sort of person that bolts when things are going tough, you know, because we get that indication from, she was going to leave
Alicia
at the waterslide park, you know, the only thing that stopped her was, no gas. So yeah, I tend to agree with you on there, and I'll save my other points for in a minute here.
Okay. All right. Well, next we have Reese Nicole Brown, and she says, I think John is being genuine in his affection for Laura, and he became more attracted to her than she became to him, probably in the same way he latched on to Morgan. I think whatever happened to Naomi's original group made her see John's open and kind personality as liability, so she ran away from him. Interesting.
Lara Willie Swink says, I believe we can take John at face value. He seems to be sincere. If he ends up being a sociopath, he is the best, most believable actor ever. She means John the character, not Garrett Dillahunt, who is pretty damn awesome himself, quote unquote from her. I also do not see Naomi as a bad person. I feel she's been traumatized and lost a great deal in the ZA. She seems to be someone who has closed herself off to people and, like Morgan, tries to run away after than to get close to anyone. I think we're going to find out that she ends up falling for John because, honestly, who wouldn't, and runs away rather than having to face losing him. Ah, love in the apocalypse. Also, I don't even think Naomi is her real name. Remember that it took her some time before even revealing her name to Madison. I think she makes up a new name for every group or person she meets. A good safety measure in a ZA when you don't know whom you can trust. Really interesting perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you nailed it there on several points, Lara, as usual, of course.
Does anybody else dance when you hear that music?
Huh? Yeah.
Do a little jig and dance when that music comes up.
Yes, your bid on this was $23,123, and the actual price is $23,123. Anyway, that is good points there, Lara. I wonder, like, she's just a serial name giver. So the next place, if she survived, you know, she was Donna. It has to be five letters, no matter what it is. It has to be something that's five letters. So Susan, Donna, Julie, you know, has to be five letters. All right. Next is Kat. She says, agreed, reacting to what Lara said. His actions have been honorable, decent, and caring from the start. I hope they are able to have an arch with a good person and moral compass who does not have to fall victim to the ZA. He's been altruistic, offering Morgan shelter and friendship, showing up as a peacemaker at the tent, continuing to offer friendship to pretty much everyone without great games to himself. He's remained calm under pressure in all circumstances, a great use of de-escalation techniques that are taught and strongly emphasized in law enforcement. His reserve in sharing he was a police officer may indicate his respect for the profession and reverence for compassionate justice versus what it became. Oops, my Freudian fangirl slip is showing. I could go on, but will not embarrass myself with a flowchart and bulletin board of all the possible directions I could see this season going.
Nice.
Yeah, and I want to get, before I give you what I've said here, Kyle, you and I have talked about this a little bit, and I don't think we have agreed on John. So what's your take on John now? And Laura/Naomi, what's your take on it?
I still think there's something not right with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see that being in the sense of, you know, maybe he, you know, just was like too overbearing to Laura, and that, you know, whatever situation that they were in, you know, that being overbearing can then turn into being controlling. And to me, I'm feeling that's the sense I'm getting. But
same here.
I also have just a part completely outside of the show, which maybe is kind of getting in the way a little bit of letting me just kind of allow my mind to accept him being good, but maybe just, you know, has some issue, like, you know, some faults. It's just the fact that Garrett Dillahunt's, like, most of all the characters he's ever played on TV have always been in some kind of villain role. Not to say that this is going to be, you know, that's always the case, but at least everything I've watched. So I have this notion that, yeah, he's playing off a wonderful character that just still we don't know anything about him. And, you know, sometimes a silent, like, seemingly innocent, you know, just the way he is, seeming to be, I hate using that word, but, like, you know, I've heard it, you know, describe him as being like a little simple, but maybe it's just more, he's just more kind of reserved and just kind of, you know, in that end. But it's like, there's just something that kind of worries me about him. And
me too.
Yeah. So with this whole Laura, Naomi, you know, thing that we're going to, I guess, obviously see more of, I can see that that's part of why she doesn't want to, like, you know, tell anybody her name. She doesn't want to, you know, stick around. Seemingly, like, she doesn't really want to stick around groups. You know, like, she wanted to move on before Madison, but, you know, after, I guess, I think probably seeing she had a place to sleep that was safe for the night, that she still has that flight mode still going on. And now with the vultures, I don't see her wanting to stay very long.
Are you thinking that essentially with John, Naomi was a battered wife?
No.
No, but I could see, not necessarily, I don't think John and Laura, like, knew each other before. I think whatever happened, they ended up running into each other. Maybe, you know, Laura / Naomi, like, maybe she was a lot more, you know, not so standoffish, but then once she was put in a situation for survival, I don't see her coming from being a battered wife, you know, before she even met John. I mean, that's possible, because, you know, we have that kind of similar with Carol, basically, on the main show. But I think just whatever brought them together, something happened there. So I don't know. We'll see. And doesn't mean necessarily that he's, like, you know, that I'm trying to think, oh no, he's going to be an evil, you know, person, and that's the villain, and, like, whatever. I just think, though, that his character, that maybe what we'll see is someone who's damaged, kind of like Nick was in the beginning, you know, just always trying to go for drugs, or, you know, whatever his, you know, with his faults, but then he straightened it, you know, himself out. But I don't know. I'm kind of waiting to see.
Or the reason why Morgan and John are so attracted to one another, maybe is for the fact that they're together because Morgan is damaged. Maybe John was. Why doesn't John kill? Because he was very adamant in the truck that time. What was it? Was it last episode? I believe so. Where we don't kill. And, you know, and he mentions it. Nelthy is like, what? And same thing with Morgan. We don't kill. What made him go through that as being, like, an expert, you know, gunsman?
Mm-hmm.
And was it something that happened with him and Laura that created that? Were they part of a group? Or was there a certain situation where people tried to take what they had and he tried to protect her and it scared her and maybe she had to walk away even though she had an affection for him?
He's a cop, dude.
Yeah. You know? So, but you don't know. This is the CA.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so he just says he's a cop?
No, I'm not saying that just because he says he's a cop. Oh, look at Rick. He was a cop and he goes from sane to psycho in a heartbeat.
Well, and then you also have to think, yes, he's a cop, or, you know, as far as we know, that's what he's saying, his background. But maybe during his journeys, and why he was, you know, he has said he's, like, he had to basically stop talking to himself, you know, because, you know, it was becoming too easy. He's damaged, and maybe something has pushed him over that edge, just like Morgan did with, you know, clearing, that he's come back from it, but something could still push him. And what, you know, I don't know, with Laura, just, there just seems to be, you know, why he's, his whole point or his main mantra is just like, I'm going to find her. No, she's alive. Like, someone who's a little bit of a fanatic or mental, you know, would say stuff about that to someone who, obviously, if that's her and is alive, was not running around looking for him. So
he's like Glenn now, huh? I'll find you.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, well, he didn't get a bat to the head.
But, or a dumpster.
But if you remember Glenn's travels, though, he was constantly, I have to go find her, I have to find my wife.
Oh, that's true.
It was very, very dedicated. So obviously, whatever they had, it meant something to him. He might not have been in his right mind, but Well, who knows? Maybe he was in his right mind, and that's the one thing he holds on to. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll find out. I'm sure of it.
So, have you guys said your piece?
Yep.
Yeah.
To both of you, I say this. You guys are so wrong. I agree with Laura and Kat on this. I think that he is every bit as decent and good as we have seen. I think you are biased by his past roles. You have to remember that this guy...
Are you kidding me?
Prior to being Negan, was mostly known for his good roles. The only one that was kind of, you know, iffy on that was the comedian in Watchmen, right? When Jeffrey Dean Morgan was in that. But as far as bad guys, beyond that, I don't think he ever really played a bad guy. But, you know, and I know Dillahunt has played good guys and bad, and I have to say, I think if he turns out to be a bad guy, I may rage quit. I don't think I actually will. I'm just being facetious there. But I want to see this good guy continue to be a good guy. I don't want there to be some sociopath in the wings that'll show up, or, you know, that he was abusive to her. I want him to be every bit as good as we've seen. And if he turns out to be, you know, a couple of fries short of a happy meal, I'm going to be a little disappointed, to say the least.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, he is a character. His mannerisms are, like when he was talking to Morgan in the MREP there, the SWAT vehicle, and I was picking up on this before this episode, but I could really like detect a bit of a Forrest Gump cadence in his voice. You know, not quite as dumb, but he had that very slow drawl, like, I think you're gonna,
yeah,
you're gonna just leave him. You're going to leave just like you always did. You know, it was, like, it was very Gumpish. But I think that he is as good. And, you know, we're going to find that, I think Glenna said that we're going to find out that she's just the type of person that bolts. And maybe she regrets bolting, or maybe she thought that things were too difficult, or maybe she thought John was dead. Who knows? You know, we don't know what happened. Hopefully we will find that story out. And the funny thing about it is he's probably going to tell a story to Morgan, and Althea's not going to capture it on tape. Well, maybe she will. Who knows? Maybe they'll end up together again. All right. So as far as other notes of this episode, Kyle, let's start with you. What do you have?
Yeah, and that kind of, you know, like one thing that kind of is like, what was the location on the map that Luciana and Nick opened to? I mean, they did say north. So I'm assuming north of, you know, where the camp is, or the ball or the baseball field is. And they tell Madison about going farther out and getting seeds, you know, fertilizer to replant. But again, it's like, where? Like, what is it that they saw on the map?
A farm?
Well, but that map, I did not catch like what it actually said other than the southern states or southern something. So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Was it a farmer's almanac map? I didn't have a chance to go back to look at it, or if you could even see. But I just, you know, I did notice then that Luciana wanted to, like, get out of there, you know, like, let's just take, but she wanted to take the group, the everybody, and just leave the baseball diamond and go start somewhere new. And then Nick was the one that kind of comes around, is like, wait, you know, why don't we, what do you say? It's like, I think we're looking at this the wrong way. And so I guess that's where them going out farther and then coming back and bringing the supplies back to them. And then I guess Madison, you know, went along with that. The other thing was in the beginning I noticed, you know, the vultures like were getting supplied from like this old man in a big station wagon. And so, you know, I don't know if we've seen that person there, but it looked like they, you know, some guy was driving up and it's like, hey, here. And they were just getting all, you know, equipment and like food and all that stuff. Or if that was one of their other, you know, people that goes and scavenges for them, or if it was maybe somebody from their headquarters as it is. And then Strand with the rock, I'm assuming that's from the dam to remind him of basically the crappy things that he did when he was there.
Yeah, I don't know if it has been said on the show, but I believe the showrunners mentioned that on Talking Dead, that it was in fact from the...
was from the dam. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't get a chance to watch that.
It wasn't this week.
It wasn't. Okay.
It was either last week.
Yeah.
Cause they were on last week, of course, trying to explain why they killed off Nick.
So that was pretty much just the other additional kind of just things that, you know, I saw, that I tried to write down. But did you notice that at the beginning too? Was that somebody new in the station wagon? And I think it was Luciana was just talking, like that Al was asking her, like, oh, how long had it been at this point? And she said a few weeks.
There was like an old dude it was an old dude with long hair that came out, and he was like pulling out boxes or crates or something. Just no one that I don't know if it was necessarily new from the vultures, but someone that we hadn't
seen.
I mean, up until now, you know, we just thought they were millennials, right?
Yeah. No, that's what made me think there's obviously they must have some base camp, but I don't know.
Yeah, I'm really still trying to figure out their group and how they work, because to me, I don't think it's obvious yet. Like, they make it sound like they don't do anything, like their mere presence suddenly causes groups to fall. But I don't think that's in fact the case. I like, it hasn't been proven yet, but I have to think that what's her face, Charlie, put those weevils in the crops. And if she didn't, then, you know, some vulture snuck in or something and did it. Cause to me, that seems to be their
MO.
Yeah. Their MO. Like, if you remember from, the second episode, that group that was around the refinery or whatever, around the oil tanks, Mel mentioned something about like an intake valve or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so that's what they do. They look for weak points and they exploit them, you know, and then it seems like they try to do everything to suffocate the groups until they die off. Now, the suffocation part, it seems a little,
it takes a long time or just.
And for that matter, like, unless there are hundreds of them, like, I don't see how they could literally scavenge and take everything that's left around. I can't see that to be the case, but I don't know. Maybe we'll learn more as we go.
I would assume we will.
All right. Mark, what do you have?
I mentioned it before. The original crew made it sound like that Madison was dead. Maybe she just went with the vultures. We don't know what the outcome was, why they're out on the road and they're away from the ball field. Why did they have to leave? Was there some sort of, did walkers get in? Were they set upon with walkers because the vultures let them in some way? Or maybe she's been captive with the vultures, but I don't see Madison being captive in any way. I think she probably was convinced by Mel in some way to go with her, and maybe Naomi or Laura was with her as well. And probably I have a funny feeling and sneaking suspicion that we're going to see these things come right about the mid-season finale.
Mm-hmm.
The mid-season point. So that way it starts a new story within the story. The only other thing I could give would be the show could have done the episode pretty much almost like a documentary, because with Althea, with that whole 4:3 aspect ratio, with the VHS glitches in the very beginning, they could have done that and just did the whole like episode almost similar with Althea's perspective through the camera and her following them around, getting their information, almost like the movie The Last Broadcast, which literally was pretty much just a whole documentary. But that's kind of like a Blair. Well, actually, that was before the Blair Witch, but it had that same aspect of getting all this information, and then they could easily slip in the previous stuff that was happening with the group, the original group.
Yeah, I mean, with the stories that they're telling, that would be a little bit difficult to present. Like, they wouldn't. You'd have Alicia telling the story of the slide. So, you know, having to show that in 4:3, that would be a little too
artsy.
Yeah. A little too hipster in a way. But I don't know. I had a bunch of little notes. Some of it we've already said, so I'll skip through those. But the goofy thing with the bowling alley, when Madison mentioned the bowling alley, it reminded me of an entertaining but very bad zombie movie that I've seen on Netflix called Ah Zombies. And I've seen it, like, if you look at it on Wikipedia, it's also titled Wasting Away. So I don't know what the deal is with that, but that had the zombie apocalypse started at a bowling alley. And originally I thought it actually started with contaminated nacho cheese, but I was wrong. When I looked it up, it was actually contaminated soft serve ice cream. But, you know, similar kind of thing. And it was weird because the people, I won't spoil the gimmick of the, like, it was bad. It also, there were some redeeming qualities to it. Okay, so did Strand, did he, like, take stuff from the camp and stash it? Or was this new stuff he found and stashed?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question.
I think it was stuff when he went on, when he went to go scavenge outside. With in his trips, he would take a little bit for himself and then hide it there.
Yeah, that's because otherwise it would have been weird for, you know, like, were they not taking an inventory? Or, you know, Madison should have been like, wait, I've seen that. Like, so that's some of the same stuff. And also, she didn't seem to really question, like, wow, where did you find all that stuff? You know,
yeah.
Like, what? What place did you go? Because I sent you to, like, the Home Depot and, and the Garden Center, you know?
Yeah, this episode was playing a little bit of that thought that a lot of people had when Negan showed up, which is, for the Alexandrians especially, why didn't they just leave? Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of that kind of scenario playing around that, you know, here you've got these major characters that were pretty close to leaving. Like, even Nick was open to leaving, I think,
mm-hmm.
before that fate of the page that they turned to and made him rethink everything. But I don't know. As far as that concerned, I think that they were putting a little bit too much on that. I really don't think that even if they had all left, Nick could have been dead anyway. He could have been dead because of this mm-hmm. in the same way, or he could have died in a different fashion. Maybe they could all have been dead. It's just that this scenario wouldn't have happened in the way that it happened. But that doesn't mean that it would have meant that he was alive. So it was just the fact that they could have left. I mean, I could see that. I'm thinking that the four of them, when they met together, they were all talking. They realized that on this single day, all of them had this idea of leaving. That must have been what happened. So,
yeah,
I thought Madison and Naomi could be vultures. They could be taken against their will. It could have been a thing where Mel offered, you know, them to join. And when he did, when they finally took him up on it, he said, no, not the rest of you, just you, you know, or something like that after they already joined. But I don't know. I could see Naomi being a vulture. I don't know about Madison, but I still have to say, she has to be alive. I don't see how they could kill off her character.
Agreed.
Come here.
If they had not killed off Nick, maybe, just maybe, they could have made the story that would have made it work that Madison could have been killed off. But with Nick gone, I don't think they can kill off Madison. So I think by the mid-season, we're going to finally find out what happened to her. But we're going to have to wait another four damn episodes for it. So, and I edited, actually, Walking Dead cast and this week. So I'll give props to Jason because he mentioned something on there that he mentioned hope as folly. So I thought that was a really good way of putting kind of the actions of all of them, that the fact that they all had hope doomed them. So I thought that was a good way of looking at it. The storytelling method with the camera, I think, is a little awkward because especially she doesn't ask, you know, where's your mother? So it's just, it's like the elephant in the room, like the obvious question that she's not asking. So you got to wonder, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Twilight Zone librarian. There was a bit
that.
Of yeah,
that. Yeah. Cool.
Neat scene.
Yeah. Yeah. So I thought that was kind of cool. That was one of my favorite Twilight Zone episodes. It's for those of you that don't know that particular episode, Burgess Meredith is playing a librarian who was very, like, you know, very much of a bookworm and didn't really care that much about people, just wanted to read his books. And now that, you know, he was the last man on earth, he could finally read all his books. And then his glasses broke and he could never read the books that he wanted to. So this is a sad thing, but you know, the poor librarian, you know, slit his wrists. So that was kind of depressing. Like I said, so much of the episode was sad. I love the fact that Morgan has befriended another cop. So I think that's really cool. You know, obviously, Rick and now John, if you want to believe that he is in fact a cop, which I do. You guys may still be thinking him to be nefarious, but I think he's a cop. Bury him here. Oh, I've been corrected. Police officer, not cop. Anyway, bury him here. It reminded me of the Morgan episode, Bury Me Here. That was something that Morgan said, you're going to bury him here. So I think that was intentional because they've dropped these little things. And why did it take Alicia so long on that first zombie to pull the knife out of his skull? I called him Braces Boy because he had braces. Did you notice he had braces?
No, I didn't see that.
So, and I guess the last thing, one thing I missed here was, I wonder if John was the one that taught Naomi about cars. So. All right. Well, that's it, unless anybody's got anything else. So it is time for news, ratings, and info.
What the hell is happening?
I have no idea.
All right. Well, I made a prediction from last week. I said that because last week's episode was so good, that this week was going to be better ratings and we would, you know, see the Live Plus 3 and the Live Plus 7 and whatnot go higher. But in fact, my prediction was not the case. Not sure if it's because of basketball playoffs or what, but ratings are lower. And it wasn't just for Fear. I noticed Westworld was also lower this week. Fear got a 0.85 in the 18 to 49 with 2.485 million. That is down from last week's 0.97 and 2.708 million. So how does that look in terms of trends? Well, it is lower on the 18 to 49 rating than last season's season 3 episode 4, which was a really good Daniel episode, if you remember, called 100. And it, however, got better or better viewers, sorry, than season 3 episode 4. So it was lower in the 18 to 49, but higher in the total viewers. And I noticed something strange when I was looking at the ratings. For some reason, the 18 to 34 crowd is not watching Fear the Walking Dead. I kind of surprised about that, knowing, you know, you've got Alicia Debnam Carey and Frank Delane. You know, you would think that they would fit that demographic, but for some reason, I guess not. I don't really pay attention to the other ratings, but it was just something I noticed on that page when I looked it up. All right. Well, I got a little bit of info about this episode, and that is, I was pleasantly surprised to see in the makings of on, Talking Dead and also with the, little featurettes that you get on the AMC app, Craig Nicotero was involved with this episode. He didn't direct it, but he is seen pretty prominently in the making of the water slide scene. And he described that the walkers had been covered with mold and slime. And to that, I thought, mold? Well, maybe that's not the appropriate one. Maybe this is more appropriate.
It's a trap.
I was thinking, what?
Yeah, well, I know.
What?
Or?
What the shit?
All right. So I'll try to give them in reverse spoiling order. So, okay. There have been some things about season 9 of The Walking Dead. The least spoilerific thing that I can say is that Callan McAuliffe, who plays Alden, and Avi Nash, who of course is Sadiq, they've been promoted to series regular. And there are also, this is where it gets more spoilerific, there are some pictures out of The Walking Dead season 9, and there's several things in there that I thought was interesting. So if you don't want to hear what they are, just fast forward a little bit. Mark, I think you saw those too, didn't you?
What, the pictures?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love watching YouTube, and I watch a bunch of there's about a good 3 YouTubers that I follow, and they had it, and they had all the pictures, and yeah, there was like a good 8 to 10 of them. And these aren't professionally shot. These aren't anything, but apparently people were able to see where they were filming, and it was very open, and I guess they didn't have any guards on hand.
Oh.
Or it wasn't blocked off, so they allowed people with cameras, which I find very odd. But distant shots, and you saw a lot of things like Father Gabriel. You saw Rick with a new hairdo. You saw Pollyanna McIntosh, which
yeah,
there's a whole bunch of them, and it's quite interesting because it shows a big difference, and you could tell time has changed, but you can't really put a time frame on it,
right?
As far as I could tell. But you can tell something has happened. They've changed in a long way, and haircuts and hair lengths have changed.
And use of horse and carriage.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple of striking things that I saw. Rick had a haircut, so he looked more like that old Rick, that was in the dream sequences. But in the case of that, that looked really bad. This look a lot more natural, and it just shows him in really short haircut, which I thought looked good on him, actually. And Gabriel's looking like he might be blind.
Definitely looks like he's blind in one eye.
Yeah. That's another thing. And we also see Jadis, or I guess who's now Anne, looking completely different. So she did not look like a hipster heapster. She looked like a
It looked like she was in a Sunday dress driving Morgan in the wagon.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Morgan had a cool new look too. He looked like like one of the priests from, or the that priest kid from Children of the Corn. The way he had the jacket and the hat.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so I think that's about it for that. That's some spoilers. So, a spoiler going into season 9 again. Supposedly, comicbook.com reported that the show is in process of casting the characters of Magda and Yumiko.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea who they are, Mark. So.
I'm not going to give any spoilers.
Okay.
Sorry. I kind of shumbled through the last one. You were talking about the posts on the season finale, and I didn't really want to give, so I kind of made it sound like I was an idiot, but I know exactly what they're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
But whether or not they actually pull that off, I don't know. But I see... I just hope it doesn't go in a way of the comics where they have a long drawn out where it's all community based for a year.
Yeah.
I hope we get some sort of action. I just hope that it happens within the first beginning of this new season for The Walking Dead. They actually just concentrate on the community expanding and moving on, and then come mid season, something happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I don't know who those characters are. And I'm okay with that. So, a spoiler, mild spoiler. I don't know. I haven't seen the movie. So I don't know. Have one of you guys seen the Avengers of Infinity War?
No, not yet.
I saw it on Sunday for the second time in the theater.
Okay. So maybe you can talk to this one, about, Ross Marquand.
Yeah. For the longest time, we've had Hugo Weaving in the original Captain America as the Red Skull. But it's not really spoilery in any way, but he does make an appearance in the movie, and it's very short. But he gives information to Thanos on a separate world. We don't know exactly where he is. But instead of Hugo Weaving, because apparently Hugo Weaving didn't want to be... in the character again. So,
Really?
So they put it to Ross Marquand, who is very good at, imitations. He knows how to do voices. And if you see him at Walker Stalker cons, he not only will he, you know, charge you for selfies, but he'll do a little video of him doing his impressions. And he did the voice and he did the, stand in. And obviously it's easy to do because he's in Red Skull makeup. Yeah. So it works out, you know. Ross did a great job. I didn't realize it until I saw it at the very end in the credits, and then somebody mentioned it again because I was half asleep the next day when I saw it again. I was like, oh no. I was like, yeah, and then I congratulated him on it, and I got a response of like, thank you, and that was it. But yeah, I would recommend going see Avengers.
It's on my list. I just, I've got to get
past another week and a half of baseball.
It'll still be out in the theaters. Yeah, trust me, it's going strong. So,
yeah. My day off.
I plan to see it at some point. I just haven't gotten around to it. I know practically everyone that I know has seen it.
I know, same here,
Kyle.
Well,
so we have to stick together, Kyle.
Yep,
you and me. We will keep the. I haven't seen the new Avengers movie. We'll keep that. So someone can say that with pride. I'm not proud of it. I just haven't seen it. That's all. Okay. So I think that this is a big spoiler, and this was so spoilery that I didn't actually read the thing about it so much. But Mark, did you see this one? I think you were the one that alerted me to it, right?
I shared it on the Zedheads page, and yeah. It was something that Gail had tweeted, and she's on my Twitter feed, and she and I have conversed over English soccer. So we're big fans of English soccer. So she loves Manchester United and a couple other teams. I like West Ham United. So we kind of talk on occasion, like we'll go back and forth. But she had tweeted this, and I noticed it right away in my feed, and I'm like, oh, this is interesting. But the fact that, you know, I'll let you say it, you know, of the spoiler.
Spoiler, Daniel is alive.
What?
No, I won't play Luke Skywalker for this one. That, to me, doesn't mean a load of crap. Because the only thing that we can say, though, is that he survived the dam, but and maybe we're going to see scenes to that effect. But that doesn't mean that he's alive in the now timeline. I mean, he may be. You know, for all we know, maybe he's a what do you call it?
Vulture?
Those guys, a vulture. But I doubt that. What I suspect is that we're going to get a flashback that's going to show some of the time between the dam and the stadium, and we'll see him in that. Him being around beyond that, though, I would be quite surprised. So,
yeah,
it just means to me that we're going to see Daniel this season, but I don't think we're going to see him like return to the series as a series regular. I'd love to see it. I love the character. I love the actor, but I just don't think we're going to see him in a full-time role anymore. I think it's just going to be, you know, flashbacks.
Yeah.
So that's it for this episode. So Kyle, why don't you tell the listeners how they could submit feedback to us and interact with us in general.
All right. To submit your theories and feedback, go to goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, where you can submit text or audio or use the SpeakPipe widget. Call 304-837-2278. Or like most people, post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group, which you can find at www.facebook.com/groups/walkingdeadgsm. And the deadline for submitting feedback next week is Tuesday, May 15th at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central.
As far as we know.
As far as we know, yes. Which could change, but we'll stick to it, I think. All right. You can, as well as connecting with us on our Facebook group, you can connect with us on Twitter, and that's at Walking Dead GSM.
All right. And other ways to support the podcast. If you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, you can go to goldenspiralmedia.com/Apple, which will give you a list and description of all the Golden Spiral Media podcasts that are out there, and there are several that are active right now. Go to goldenspiralmedia.com/Apple. Subscribe to us. That is the best way that you can affect our Apple juice, so to speak. You realize I hadn't done a rim shot all episode until now. Anyway, but you can subscribe to us in whatever podcast client of your choice. That will make sure that you get the next episode. If you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts, we would also appreciate a rating and especially a review. Rating only takes a few seconds. The review obviously takes a little bit longer, but that always helps other people find us in the long list of Walking Dead podcasts, which are so many now, I've lost count. I know some have fallen. One of the big ones recently just finally decided to hang it up. And to that, I would say thank God, because they were way too negative. But for those of us that will keep going, help others find us. I'd like to thank Steve Brown, who, of course, contributed to this podcast, but is also Mark's co-host on Panels to Pixels, for his contribution to my GoFundMe. That's at GoFundMe.com/TWDTTBrianHardDrive. Of course, that really has nothing to do with why I've got the GoFundMe anymore. You know, I've been unemployed. I don't have a job yet, but things are starting to heat up in terms of interviews. So hopefully, you know, maybe before the half season is out, I'll have something. But Steve, thank you for your contribution this week. I really appreciate it. To support the Golden Spiral Media Network, there are some other ways you can do so. You can go to goldenspiralmedia.com/support. Mark, anything you want to say about your other podcast?
Yes, Steve and I will be back with Panels to Pixels probably in another week or so. New episodes will be up probably come this weekend. As soon as I get the new computer or semi-new computer back, I will be up and running completely. I will be using my computer now in term to finish up all my edits and sending them up to Next Level Podcast, which you can hear Panels to Pixels with me and Stephen Brown. Nice.
And that URL for people that want to find it?
That would be www.nextlevelpodcastradio.com.
Great.
/Panels to Pixels.
And of course, I do the Star Trek Discovery podcast, the very plainly named, but intentionally so, which you can get to at StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast.com. See how I did that? And that was basically because so many people get the name of this podcast wrong. I wanted something simple for Star Trek Discovery. But it's been a few weeks now since we had our roundtable. We should be back in a few weeks with some episodes discussing season one and upcoming season two, I believe, with Ruthie. And then we'll be doing some more episodes coming up. Anything you want to give a shout out to, Kyle?
Yes. So the Sunday's Mother's Day, so I'm going to give a shout out to my mom. she doesn't listen to the show or watch the show, but I'll tell her that I gave her a shout out.
Cool. That's great. My mother is no longer with us, so I can't give a shout out to her, but to moms out there, I give it a shout out to all of you. Next episode, season 4, episode 5, which we already know, is titled Laura. Gee, I wonder what that is about. The description is the arrival of a wounded visitor in John Dory's life forces him to change his ways. And, it'll be interesting, and we'll finally get settled between the three of us if John Dory is a mean man or if he is the teddy bear that I say that he is. So until next time, I'm Brian.
I'm Kyle.
And I'm Mark.
And this is Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Are you a podcaster who loves creating great content but gets overwhelmed by the audio editing process? Are you a business professional or an entrepreneur that wants to start a podcast but aren't sure where to begin? You need Pro Podcast Solutions. Pro Podcast Solutions has a robust suite of services to equip podcasters and help podcasters create better content than ever before. Visit ProPodcastSolutions.com today and find out how you can get your first episode produced for free. That's ProPodcastSolutions.com.